أجوركم بمصابنا بسيدنا ومولانا أبي عبد الله الحسين عليه السلام، وجعلنا الله وإياكم من الطالبين بثأره بين يدي الإمام المنصور المؤيد المهدي من آل محمد. اللهم صل. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله، أما بعد. يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: إن الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله. The walk to Karbala and to the shrine and the grave of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam has no doubt become a symbol for many of the followers of Ahlul Bayt salawatullah wa salamu alayhim in the past 15 years or so. Indeed, one of the greatest honors that anyone could ever have is to be able to walk and visit the shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. One of the wishes which many people hope for in their life to come true is to be able to visit the shrine of the Imam, and to visit the shrine of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam, and the shrine of the rest of the martyrs of the 10th of Muharram. Indeed, you find millions upon millions of visitors who come together in this period, the period of the 40th, in mourning Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Indeed, no doubt this is the largest gathering in the Islamic world. One would assume normally that Hajj would be the largest gathering in the Muslim world, but we know very well that Hajj has a few million people who are able to visit the house of their Lord, whereas when it comes to Karbala, sometimes the numbers that are brought together and the numbers that are estimated are between 15 to 20 million people over the period of a month. And these people aren't just visitors to the shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam who have come from Najaf, for example, or have come from Baghdad, for example. You may find people who have come from the southern part of Iraq, from Basra, for example, or from Tal Afar, for example. Or you may find a plethora of nationalities who have come together to visit the Imam. For example, when you're there walking towards Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, you may be walking next to someone on your right-hand side from Senegal, on your left-hand side from Thailand, in front of you from Kenya, behind you from Australia. It's unbelievable the number of nationalities that come in the period of the 40th of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam to honor him, to honor his family members, and to honor his companions. As in anyone who has walked will tell you, that you'll see a number of flags. These flags represent the lovers of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam who have come far and wide. They've come from far and wide to honor the message of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and show their respect to the Imam. And unfortunately, you find that the media has not covered this in the way that this deserves to be covered. While many times when Islam has an event with negative connotations, we'll go straight onto the media. When it's an event with positive meaning and a positive message, hardly ever do you see this in the world media. As in, you find, for example, if there's a terrorist attack, automatically it's in the media. Suddenly Muslims are labeled as fundamentalists, as radicals. But when it comes to such a gathering, a peaceful gathering, a gathering where, for example, one sees patience and generosity and sacrifice, hardly ever do we see this in the world media. Sometimes that may be our fault, that we don't have enough people in the world media who give us a voice. The reality is that there are many of us who go into the medical profession. There are some of us who may go into the legal profession, others who may go towards the world of finance or engineering. But how many times do you hear from our communities that there are journalists, for example, or filmmakers, for example? Alhamdulillah, in recent years, we've seen the rise of channels, for example, Imam Hussein TV and other channels who are doing fantastic work in order that such a walk is shown to the whole world. But the reality is that next week, for example, when everybody gathers around the shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, you'll still find that there are many millions in the world who don't know about this walk. They may know, for example, at the time of Hajj, there are a few million people who go to Mecca. But when you tell them that there are 15 million Muslims or 20 million Muslims who go towards Karbala, and might I add non-Muslims, because Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam's message and principles are not just for Muslims. Imam al-Hussein's message is a message which every human being can relate to. I've seen priests who have come to Karbala. I've seen members from the Hindu faith, for example, come to Karbala. I've seen people of different paths come towards Karbala, and each and every one of them speaking about just how inspirational the walk on the 40th to Imam al-Hussein was for them, how it affected them, how it influenced them, and how they wish that more people in the world would know about this walk to Karbala. So you therefore find that there are people who come from different nationalities, people outside of the religion of Islam, who just want to have a taste of what's happening when people come all the way to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. But sadly, there remain those who either don't have a clue about this walk to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, or there remain those who are skeptical about walking to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. On the one hand, you have those who don't know about the walk to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. There are many non-Shia Muslims in the world today who haven't got the foggiest about the walk to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, about people coming in droves to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. If you ask them, do you love Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam? They'll say to you, of course we do. He's the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Of course we adore him, we admire him. Then when you tell them, do you commemorate what took place on the 10th of Muharram? Do you know what happened after the 10th of Muharram to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi in Kufa and all the way to Sham? You find that there are many who are oblivious to this. There are many who purposely have people around them who don't want them introduced to this walk of lovers, to this walk of the passionate. Why? Because they'll recognize the message of Imam al-Hussein, the reality of the message, and just how many millions are attracted to it. So on the one hand, there are those who don't know about a ziyarah to Karbala. On the other hand, there are those even within our school, those who are Shia, who will say to you that why should we walk to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam? What is this, people walking from Najaf to Karbala, or from Basra to Karbala, or from Baghdad to Karbala, or from even parts of Iran to crossing the border all the way to Karbala? Or there are people who may even come from further. They say, what is this? Now we've made this a culture which is a form of an innovation. This is a bid'ah. This was never part and parcel of our practice, that we honor somebody, for example, by walking towards them. Or we honor someone who may have gone on such a journey of walking to Karbala. You'll find that even there are those who may take groups to Karbala, but will purposely tell the members of their group that we don't enter such walks, we don't participate in such walks. We'll take our bus from Najaf towards Karbala, and that's sufficient for us. We've got a hotel waiting for us in Karbala. This idea that if you walk to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, then this is a spiritual act and an act which is rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say that no such traditions exist. That there isn't any mention of walking to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam by the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, There's no mention of the Arba'een or the ziyarah of the Arba'een of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And therefore you'll find them actually telling their people that we don't need to participate in such things. We get to Iraq, we'll visit the shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salam. We'll visit the shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. We may go, for example, to Kazmain and to Samarra. But there's no need for any of you to stop at what are known as mawakib, or different stops, serving food to people, sitting down with people, talking to people, holding flags, walking this whole journey. This is not something which the Ahlul Bayt would have wanted us to have done. Rather, they pushed them away from such a tradition. Therefore, tonight, I'd like to examine this. This particular walk to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and the walk to Karbala by the millions. And I'd like to see whether this is grounded in tradition, whether such things are grounded within the Quran or within the world of ahadith and within rational convention. And I'd like to do this in the following stages. Number one, which ladies walk from one mountain to another became a ritual within Islamic law and an obligatory practice. Number two, how do all the schools in Islam agree that the more footsteps taken towards the house of God, the more sins are erased by God? Number three, did the Ahlul Bayt, salawatullah wa salamu alayhim, ever mention ziyarah of the Arba'een and walking to the shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam? Number four, what did they mention about each step that is taken? And how do they mention that you become amongst the muflihin? And you become amongst those who are the munjihin and amongst the faizin on the day of judgment. And what are these categories that they speak about? Number five, did any of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi go to the grave of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam on the 40th of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam? And can their action be taken as a hujjah by us? Number six, on the day of judgment, will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask us about every step we've taken on this earth? Shouldn't we then make sure that our feet walk towards halal and not towards haram? Number seven, is it rational convention for people to walk towards a particular target? Is this seen as something meritorious, that the longer the walk to a certain place, the more honorable in society? And how can we see this in society around us? Number eight, and of the utmost importance, how did Saddam Hussein seek to stop the walk to Karbala? And how did he execute those who walked to Imam al-Hussein from 1977 until the re-emergence in 2003? And finally, how does Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam lavish praise on the ziyarah of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam? And especially those who have faced difficulty on that ziyarah, and how would he always remember what his great progeny and his forefathers went through in Karbala, Kufa and Sham. Let's examine this and dissect the topic in complete depth. Can a walk by a particular figure in history really be seen that high by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As in, can someone walking from one place to another become part of Islamic heritage? No doubt if a person was to look at the act of Hajj, they'll find that within the act of Hajj, there is a particular walk which all of us have to honor. Otherwise, our Hajj is incomplete. Which walk? The walk of Bibi Hajar alayhi salam. Hajar, the wife of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the mother of Nabi Ismail alayhi salam. As we know, she reached a certain trial in her life. That trial that she faced was a trial where she had her child and her child was thirsty. At the end of the day, no mother wants to see her child thirsty and in a difficult moment. You find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Abraham's wife with her baby boy, with Ismail alayhi salam. When the pangs of thirst began to affect Ismail alayhi salam, Hajar wondered, in this barren land, where am I going to get any water? As in, I look around me, and I see this barren land known as Mecca. Where can I find any water in this barren land? It's not like today where we had a certain flow of water in the land. At that time, you didn't have that flow of water. And so Hajar wandered from one mountain to another. A small mountain or hilltop by the name of Safa. And the other one by the name of Marwa. She went from one to the other, walking from Safa to Marwa. At a certain juncture, she even jogged a little bit. She continued walking, came back, walked again, came back. How many times did she do this? She did this on 7 occasions. From Safa, Marwa, Safa, Marwa, Safa, Marwa, Safa. When she did this, therefore, what do we find? We find that when she did this, stopping at Marwa, suddenly we found an emergence of water that came to her. That emergence of more water, what was it called? Zamzam. Zamzam emerged for her. The moment it emerged, there was this spring of water that was there for her baby, Ismail alayhi salam. Moving from that mountain to another, one would think that this lady is only walking from one area to another. There's no way that her walk would become an act which is wajib for each and every one of us. Yet subhanallah, when you look at Islamic law and you look at every school in Islamic law, you find it's obligatory for them to do sa'i. Don't you agree? As in when you go to Hajj or to Umrah, after you've done tawaf and you've done the units of prayer after tawaf, where do you go next? Towards Safa and Marwa. To honor by walking from one mountaintop to another. Not just walking. There are moments where you may have the harwala, where you will jog, for example, or walk a bit faster in the middle. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, that lady, all she did was walk. Her walking from one place to another, why did you have to make this an institution for us? Why did you need to make it a tradition for us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on one level was highlighting to us the struggle that every human being faces. That if you look at your life and recognize there are certain moments where a struggle will take place, eventually you can meet your target as long as you can persevere in that struggle. On the one hand, there's the spirituality of her walk, meaning the struggle that was undertaken by her. Then on the other hand, what did you have? On the other hand, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to likewise walk in the way that she walked. In the same way that she had to walk from one place to another, part of our empathy with her struggle and our recognition of the difficulties that she was facing. Was it easy for you? Knowing your baby, any second you will not hear their voice again. Any second they're going to die from thirst. Was it easy for her? No, it wasn't. Okay, it wasn't easy for her. She passed the test. Ya Allah, why do I have to go through that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to build within me a sense of empathy. Build within me a sense of gratitude. Build within me a sense of recognition of sacrifice. I could easily just look at the two mountains in Hajj. I could look at them, for example, that's Safa, that's Marwa. Oh, that's where Hajar walked. No, walk like she walked. Honor what she honored. Empathize with what she went through. God wanted to build within us a sense of empathy that I look at my life, I may not face these trials, but let me for a moment taste the feeling of walking from one to another. If I don't do this, is my Hajj complete? Of course, it's not complete. My Hajj is incomplete if I don't do the sa'i between Safa and Marwa. But Ya Allah, it's just a walk. I could also just, for example, shed some tears for her. I could, for example, read a ziyarah for her. No, walk where she walked. Honor what she honored. I want you to show reverence to that area. Because you know, if a person intentionally does not do the sa'i, then what they are doing in terms of Hajj and Umrah may be incomplete. Whereas if a person, for example, unintentionally, then they may do it, for example, according to different schools, later on, for example. But what you have here is that lady, Allah decided to mention her movement in the Quran. In Surah 2, verse 158, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna as-Safa wal-Marwata min sha'air Allah. The Safa and the Marwa, these two mountains, are from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just the signs. I want you to move between these two mountains. Yes? You go towards one, come back towards another, move again, come back, move again, come back. Be careful that you don't do it 14 times. We had someone who came with us Hajj once and he was getting a bit out of breath. And he was saying that, you know, I don't know what the problem is. We said to him, it's only 7. He said, hold on a minute, I think I've done 14. No, it's only 7 times. But those walk, that step, every step you take is a step recorded by the angels for the day of judgment, isn't it? I'm moving from two mountains, literally. How about if I move towards two mountains, one called Hussein and the other called Abbas? Are there two mountains like Abu al-Fadl and Abu Abdullah? When I walk towards them, every step, if the steps for Safa and Marwa are recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're telling me that my steps between Sayyid al-Shuhada and Bab al-Hawaj are not recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Therefore, you found that for us in the Quran, Allah highlighted that don't dismiss the steps that a lady took. If Hajar was the lady at that time, Zainab became Hajar from Karbala to Kufa to Sham and back to Karbala. In the same way that Hajar saw baby in front of her with the thirst and the pangs of thirst, did not Zainab see babies with the pangs of thirst without water being given to them? In the same way Hajar taught us struggle, likewise Zainab alayhi salam taught us struggle. Therefore, when my intention is what? My intention is that I'm honoring Hajar, I'm performing an act which is obligatory. With that, I'm recognizing that every step that she took is a step which is rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I take it at Hajj. Therefore, on the first level, Islam and the Quran have already highlighted that walking from one place to another can be seen as one of the most meritorious acts of worship in the religion. Number two, and that's why you find in Shi'i and Sunni literature, the steps that you take to the mosque are praised by Allah. But the further you walk, the more praise you get by the Lord. In which way? Because you know some people, what will they say? They say, listen, these traditions about ziyara of Imam al-Hussein, we all agree on. And the idea of walking, okay, you walk from your hotel to Imam al-Hussein, alayhi salam. That we all agree on. No one's stopping you. If you want to get to Karbala, for example, by car or by bus, or even if you want to land one day at the airport of Karbala when it's built eventually, then you could do that. There's no problem. But you found that in all the different schools in Islam, there was a recognition that the further you walk to one of the houses of Allah, the more reward you received and the higher your status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look, for example, in Sahih Muslim, let's see other schools in Islam. In Sahih Muslim, you have traditions from Abu Hurairah and from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. Traditions from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, which talk of the fact that if you want to see your sins forgiven, look at the relationship when I come to the hadiths of Ahlul Bayt on walking to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. If you want to see your sins erased, many of us have many sins that we've collected. I hope that these sins are erased before I die. In Sahih Muslim, the tradition from Abu Hurairah mentions that your sins being erased, Allah will erase your sins, raise you to a higher status if you do three things. What are those three? When you do wudu in difficult circumstances, you know, sometimes there are circumstances when a person becomes lazy when it comes to doing wudu. The weather might be cold, or you're making excuses why you can't do wudu, or you know what, I've woken up, I don't want to lose my sleep. You'll hear some people even say things like this. There may be difficult circumstances, for example, where you are in a position of difficulty, maybe even your life's under threat, other laws may come in. So he says, number one, when you're wudu, you're doing it in difficult circumstances. Number two, when you are waiting to pray after having performed a previous prayer or another prayer. And number three, the steps, the number of steps that you take towards the mosque. So he says, therefore, that it's not just about going to the mosque. Your sins are erased for each step that you take in walking towards the mosque. Then Abu Musa al-Ash'ari mentions, no, not just the number of steps. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi said, the one who gets rewarded the most is the one who's taken the furthest distance to come towards the mosque. If I live next door to the mosque and I wake up for Fajr, is it the same as the person who's walked 15 minutes? I live next door to the mosque. I can just wake up, alarm clock's opened up for me. It's reminding me, all of a sudden, I walk into the mosque. That person who walks 15 minutes. You found that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi said, the ones who have walked the furthest distance are the ones who are rewarded the most by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Logically, that makes sense. If someone's near, is pure, that person has walked such a long distance to the house of God. Easily, shaitan can make you have certain excuses that, you know what, not today, maybe tomorrow, I'm not sure, I'll just pray at home. For someone to walk from street to street, from avenue to avenue, from road to road, just to come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When someone now goes on a long journey to your house, you appreciate that these people have come from far and wide. You want to show them the best hospitality. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for His own creation, if they've taken this long distance, you found that even a non-Shi'i tradition, the longer that you've walked, the more reward you get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, on the second level, you have this, that on the first, the walk of Hajar, Safa, Marwa. On the second, the longer you've walked to the house of Allah. And we know that the shrine of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is one of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I, who's walked from Najaf to Karbala, for example, I've done a 3-day walk. You know, anyone can do 3 days. But then there are those who've done 10 days. There are those who've done 15 days. There are those who are double my age with walking sticks who teach me the meaning of strength and perseverance. And teach me the meaning of patience and the meaning of sacrifice. Look at how many wonderful spiritual traits emerge in the human being when you're walking these long distances to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Question therefore, did the Ahlul Bayt comment on doing this ziyarat al-Arba'een? Did they comment on walking to the shrine of Imam al-Husayn? Did they comment on what happens to the one who walks to the shrine of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam? If one studies books such as Tahdhib al-Ahkam or Kamil al-Ziyarat, you'll find numerous traditions from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, where the Imam elaborates on all of these. What are these traditions? On the first tradition, when someone says, did they even mention Ziyarat al-Arba'een? Because normally, we talk of the Makhsus Ziyarah. We talk of, for example, 15th of Sha'ban. We talk of Arafah. And we talk of the Arba'een. Imam tells Safwan al-Jamal about visiting Imam al-Husayn on the Arba'een of Imam al-Husayn. And saying, As-salamu ala Waliyullah wa ibn waliyyah. That send your salams when you get there on the 40th by saying salams on the guardian of Allah's message and the son of his wali. So we have on the first level Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam mentioning Ziyarat al-Arba'een. Then Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam discusses walking and the steps and the number of steps taken and what reward you receive. Because I don't mind if someone says to me that, listen, this year, I'm not going to walk to Imam al-Husayn necessarily from a long distance. I want to go towards a hotel and then go to the shrine. There's no problem in that at all. No one's stopping you. But don't mock those who've decided to walk to Sayyid al-Shuhada because they want to empathize with what he went through, like we empathize in the Hijjah with what Hajar went through. When you see, for example, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he tells his companions, and you'll find this within Kamil al-Ziyarat and other traditions, when his companions ask him about Ziyarat al-Husayn, he answers them. What does he say? He says, and if you are walking to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, for every step that you take, Allah rewards you. Allah writes for you a reward for every step you take and erases sin for every step you take. Imagine, look how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. For every step I take, Allah rewards me and erases my sins. Because I've gone towards the shrine of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. He then says that when you get to Al-Ha'ir Al-Husayni, say you get, for example, around the Dharih of Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam, around the Zari, you get near there, and say you recite, for example, Ziyarah of Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam by the shrine, the moment you have done this, you become of the Muflihin and the Munjihin. Who are these people? The people of Falah and the people of Najah. Because you could, both terms could be translated as the successful ones. But there's a difference. One of them, you've become successful in your act in dunya. The other, you've captured dunya and akhirah. When you're a person of najah, a person, for example, ينجح بالامتحان. You have an exam, you pass that exam. You might, for example, be successful with your home life. You might be successful with your work life. Dunya areas, you have now been victorious in your dunya. There was a particular target and you passed the test of that target. Falah? No. That is when you have passed the test of understanding the very meaning of your creation. When Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam says, those who reach Al-Ha'ir Al-Husayni, the area around the Dharih. So, for every step you've taken, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives your sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you. Look how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and look how ungrateful I am. How many doors does Allah open for me to be given forgiveness? And then he says after that, they are of the muflihin and of the munjihin. Imam makes it clear that you become of the successful ones. Successful in your dunya and successful in your akhirah. When you then finish these manasik and you leave the shrine, you know how when we enter the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we go towards his grave, we recite Ziyarat al-Hussein alayhi salam, we then turn around, we may for example recite 2 rak'ah of salah, then we walk outside. When we walk outside, we may then at that moment have completed. He said the moment you then have finished your manasik, you become of the faizin, of the victorious ones. Now I am successful in dunya. Now I'm successful, inshallah, in my akhirah. Now Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam says, and they become of the faizin. Isn't that what I want? Ya laytana kunna ma'akum fanafuza fawzan azima. We wish that we were alongside you, Ya Aba Abdullah, for that is the greatest victory. Imam As-Sadiq says, you know how you say you wish you had been next to Imam Hussein? Go do his ziyarah. For every step that you take, Allah writes for you a reward. And Allah erases a sin for you. All the sins are then removed. Then at that moment, you are of the people of falah. Don't we in adhan always say, hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah. Then what do we say? Hayya ala falah. Come towards that which brings you success. In this world only, no in the hereafter. Likewise, ziyarat al-Husayn alayhi salam. Similar to salah, in the sense it's one of the acts that brings you success. So now, I've come towards Imam al-Husayn shrine, I've walked. For every step that I've taken, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling those angels, reward for every step. The one who has walked from their hotel to the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, alhamdulillah, many of their sins are forgiven. And at the same time, they are rewarded. The one who decided, you know what, I want to empathize a bit more with Zainab and the sisters of Zainab alayhi salam. Then what? Then I'm just going to come back. Maybe I'll start from, let's say, poll 1,200. Let's say. Then there may be others who will say, no, I want to start by who? By visiting Imam Ali alayhi salam, then going to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Then there may be those who say, no, I'm going to come all the way from Basra or from Nasriya or from Samawa or Diwani or wherever they want to come from. There are others, no. There are others from the moment they've left home, they've made a niyyah that I'm going to say the shuhada. Wherever they're walking from, already Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding them. Why? Because the moment I've got to that shrine, the moment I've got there, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam says, you finish the manasik around the Ha'ir al-Husayni, you walk away, you are of the muflihin, of the munjihin, of the faizin. And then he says at that moment, Allah orders an angel to come and say what? And say that I have come with salams from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi for you. Imagine a salam from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, because I have done Ziyarat al-Husayn alayhi salam. Is there a bigger honor in life than having a salam and that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi? What happens when Allah sends the angel and that angel comes to the Prophet? The Prophet says to the angel, I want you from this day onwards to forgive them and that they start with a fresh blank slate again. Just because they've come for Ziyarat al-Husayn alayhi salam and they've undertaken this journey in order to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Then my salams are sent towards the Zawar of Hussein alayhi salam. Therefore, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam told us. He told us clearly, number one, Ziyarat al-Arba'een. You say, As-salamu ala waliyillah wa ibn waliyah. And then number two, he told us for every step we take, what is happening? Our sins are being erased. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding us. And the angels are now all around us. Look at the spirituality alongside the ziyarah of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Then if Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says this, of course Ahlul Bayt are a hujjah for us. When they therefore tell us about something, it becomes not just culture, it becomes part of the religion. Yes, I cannot force you that if you don't walk this year, that means you haven't felt Ziyarat Hussein. Everyone is entitled to do what they want to do. If a group of you want to walk all the way, let them walk. If a group of you don't want to walk, everyone and their niyyah is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot force people that if you don't walk with us, you're not in our group or in our kafil. Not at all. But the imams would say, for every step taken, you are forgiven. So maybe a person may want to make use of such hadith. Other schools in Islam say the act of a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi is a hujjah. We say the act of the imams of Ahlul Bayt is a hujjah for us. And we have certain companions as well whose actions may be a hujjah for us. But the Ahlul Bayt we value higher. And we see them higher theologically. Other schools say no. Ibn Hajar, for example, says that the acts of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi are a hujjah. Okay, did any companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi visit Imam al-Hussein on the Arba'een of Imam al-Hussein? Was there any who came all on a long journey? Not on a plane ride. Didn't go and check in into a hotel in Karbala at that time. No. He left, for example, the lands of the Hijaz and came all the way to Karbala. Jabir bin Abdullah al-Ansari. Because if you tell me the acts of the Sahaba are a hujjah, is not Jabir bin Abdullah al-Ansari one of the Sahaba? Jabir was alongside Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Jabir was with Imam Ali alayhi salam. Jabir was with Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. Jabir was with Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Jabir was with Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. As well as Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. Where did he know Imam Zain al-Abidin, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam? Where were their meetings? Of their meetings was on the Arba'een. When Jabir undertook the journey from the land of the Hijaz all the way to where? And we think we are something special walking from Najaf to Karbala. MashaAllah. Jabir bin Abdullah al-Ansari with Atiyah al-Awfi. Atiyah al-Awfi was born around the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam's khilafah in Kufa. Imam Ali alayhi salam, if I'm not mistaken, even named him Atiyah Allah. He was like a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His name was Atiyah al-Awfi. He was with Jabir bin Abdullah al-Ansari. They were the ones who came on the Arba'een. What a journey, what a distance. I ask you, how many days does it take in those days for a person to go from Medina, let's say, for example, or from Mecca, let's say, towards Karbala? Is it an overnight thing? Not at all. Why would Jabir do this unless Jabir knew, number one, the love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi had for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Number two, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi always stressed, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا, as the Quran says, إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. I don't ask from you anything except love for my family. Number three, if Jabir felt there was no need to come on these long journeys, then he could have said, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, from far. Because you know, we could do ziyarah from the rooftops of our houses. If you live in London, for example. Or you live in Newport, for example. Or you live in Birmingham, for example. Or you live in Bradford, for example. From the roof of your house, or from your house, from your mahfal, from a part of your imam bar, you say, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Jabir, why have you gone all the way? For what reason? If the act of a sahabi is hujjah, is Jabir bin Abdullah Ansari not one of the sahaba? Jabir bin Abdullah Ansari with Atiyah al-Awfi reached Karbala on the Arba'een. And I'll be discussing in the forthcoming nights, was it 1 year and 40 days or was it 40 days after Karbala? I'll discuss the different opinions as to whether they came back to Karbala a year later or 40 days later. But suffice for me that Jabir bin Abdullah al-Ansari comes towards the grave of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. He knows that every step he's taken is a step rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For you have gone to the land of the lovers, and you've come towards that land where the blood of Sayyid al-Shuhada spilt on the earth, and the blood of his companions. And Jabir comes and shows emotion. Not just I've gone on ziyarah so that I go on a walk and I chill with my friends and I take selfies non-stop, and then we chill again, and then we just talk about dunyawi affairs. Rather, I come towards the grave of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. I may come disheveled, I'm in tears, I feel a bit of the pain, the same way I feel Hajar's pain from Safa to Marwa. I feel the pain of Hussein, the pain of Abbas, the pain of Qasim, the pain of Akbar, the pain of Rabab, the pain of other ladies, your Sukainas and your Ruqayas and all those who went. I feel some of that pain. I want to empathize with some of that pain. Jabir bin Abd al-Ansari also recognizes that the earth of Karbala has a barakah. When he throws the earth on his face, he also wants to shout out, Habibi ya Hussein, because he wants to show the love he has for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, that even if my house is far, Sayyid al-Shuhada, there is nothing too far for you. Sayyid al-Shuhada, wherever you are, wherever we are, we'll travel far and wide so that we're able to come towards your grave and say, Labbayka ya Hussein, with our heads not necessarily held high. Sometimes I come on that ziyarah as a purifier for me so that I may repent. And that's why Imam al-Sadiq says, every step you take, Allah writes a reward and erases a sin. He knows that this is a spiritual act that you are performing. And we know further than this, that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes something very clear for us. These feet will speak on the Day of Judgment. These feet and these hands, they'll all speak on the Day of Judgment about how we use them. Did we use them in halal or in haram? How many of you have read the ayah in Surah Yasin, Surah 36, verse number 65? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, al-yawma nakhtumu ala afwahihim, wa tukallimuna aydihim, wa tashhadu arjuluhum bima kanu yaksibun. On that day, their mouths is all locked up, all sealed. What's going to speak? These will speak and these will speak. Either I use them in the way Allah asked me as a trust, use them in halal, or I use them in haram. My hands, I could use in Ma'tam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And I look forward to meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying that I beat my chest, remembering the chest that was trampled on by the horses on the 10th of Muharram. I could use them in this. I could use them in serving food. Look at the service of food and the way food is given when people walk to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Some people who have no money, I promise you, there are people who have begged us to eat with them. Little do we realize that in some cases they've managed to save up the whole year just to serve us Zuwar of Hussein alayhi salam. And of course, that's the generosity that continues from Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam when he purchased Karbala and said, this is for my Zuwar, that my Zuwar will come here one day. I want to purchase this land. Look at the generosity from pole to pole. Please come and eat. Fruits, here's fruits. Dates, here's dates. Rice and curries, here's rice and curries. To the extent that people just want to use their hand to massage your feet. They just want to use their hands to massage your feet because they recognize that if these hands are going to speak, let me say that I massage the feet of one who was going to honor the son of Fatima alayhi salam and the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. The Quran says your hands will speak. And what else does the Quran say? The Quran then says likewise your feet will speak. How many times have these feet walked to a place of haram? Walked into an area of clubbing, went and took drugs with friends. These feet walked towards an area where I ended up drinking with others. These feet went towards areas where I went against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the obedience to my parents who have brought me up with the love of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Instead, what can I do? I could say I use these feet to walk to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Wouldn't you look forward to death knowing you walked and used these feet to go to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam? Because there are many, they always say, don't talk about death or lectures on death because death is scary. If I've used my feet to walk to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and I've used my hand in the service of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, why should I fear death? For what reason? At the end, the Quran is telling me that on the day of judgment, your feet will speak and your hands will speak. Ya Allah, these hands done Ma'tam al-Hussein. And these feet walk towards the shrine of Imam al-Hussein. And that's why it saddens me that there are many, for example, in the communities in London, you ask them, have you been to Karbala? They haven't. In the UK, there are many. If you tell them Dubai, straight away, bro, I'm on it. If you tell them somewhere in Europe, I'm on it. You tell them a far resort, they're on it. Ask them, have you done Ziyarat al-Hussein alayhi salam? When I say this, why? Because you're missing out on the treasures. If your mind is purely business, you know, Imam Ali says there are three types of worshippers. The one who worships you, oh God, out of fear of hell, that's the worship of a slave. The one who worships you because they want heaven is the worship of a businessman. And the one who worships you because they found you worthy of being worshipped, that's the worship of a free human being. Okay, be a businessman. Businessman at the very least, that recognize that you have a chance to go to one of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the rewards are there, that the angels pray for you, and that your prayers are multiplied by thousands depending on your ma'rifah of the imam when you visit him. It's so sad when you see that there are many members of the communities here in the UK and around the world. You tell them, have you been Ziyarat al-Hussein? Have you been to Imam al-Kadhim, to Imam al-Jawad, to Imam al-Hadi, to Imam al-Askari? Many of these will say to you, it's dangerous. You ask them, what other countries they've been to? They've been to half the axis of evil, and they find going to Iraq is dangerous. Why? We have to be there in numbers. How many of us are disappointed that we could not be in Karbala this year? If you don't feel disappointment, reassess your spirituality. I ask you this and I say this to you sincerely. If you find it normal that you're not at Karbala at least once a year, you must reassess your spirituality. For Karbala, what is it? The greatest table spread of generosity is the Arba'een of Imam al-Hussein. And the greatest hospital for one's soul is Ziyarat al-Hussein alayhi salam. So therefore, if you find it normal that, you know what, Arba'een come, Arba'een go, 15th Sha'ban come, 15th Sha'ban go, Dua Arafah, the day of Arafah comes, day of Arafah goes, I don't really miss Karbala, there's a major problem there. Because the lover of Sayyid al-Shuhada never ever is in that position. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam is asked, how many times should we visit Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam? He says twice a year. Someone said, Mawla, but it's expensive. He said, then save up on other things and visit Imam al-Hussein. Imagine. Why would Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam say this? Because he was trying to tell us that you want your soul to be purified, go to the hospital of Sayyid al-Shuhada. Sit next to him and gaze towards Abu al-Fadl and feel the emotion, but feel the energy, feel the spirituality. And for a moment, think of Akbar. And then reminisce about Qasim. And then open your heart to Zainab alayhi salam. Why do we go ziyarah? We take photos with our phones. Take the best photo you'll ever take is with your soul in front of the shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Therefore, you found that some may turn around and say, but this walk, you know what? It's not a culture that we want. This is not something that we want in our traditions. Walking, Najaf, Karbala, serving. Why not? Take me to a non-Muslim in the UK. Say to them that we're going to walk from one part of the UK to another. We're going to cycle from one part of the UK to another for charity. Wouldn't they say that's an unbelievable thing you're doing? How many people walk London Marathon, Boston Marathon? When they walk these, does anyone tell them, why are you guys walking? There's no need to walk. They say, no, we're doing it for charity. So that children are remembered who are facing difficulties. So that the children are honored. Don't people say, I'm doing the marathon, can you sponsor me? And they send you an email or a WhatsApp, please sponsor me, I'm walking from this place to this place. Sirat al-Uqala or rational convention, there is no issue on the first level. When a person is saying that, why are you doing all of these things? We reply by saying that on the contrary. We look around us, rationally speaking, nobody thinks that this is... Number two, what's emerging from this walk is something beneficial for humanity. Don't you always talk humanity, humanity? Isn't serving food humane? Isn't sitting in brotherhood with one another humane? Isn't help carrying each other humane? Is it helping the poor humane? Everything that comes from this walk is positivity. And if there are negativities, we can work on those negativities. If, for example, someone says, but have you seen how much people throw trash away? Let's teach each other to that. Cleanliness is a part of faith. We can all do Amar bil Ma'ruf, Nahi al Munkar, and join it upon each other. Doesn't mean you have a negative outlook because one year you saw trash on the side. Someone says, but you know what? The Iraqi people, instead of looking after their families, they save up the money for this ziyarah. Okay, so we can work on both. These are people who have seen volume. From which year? from 1977. See the 77 here? When I have 77, people ask me, what's the 77 on your hand that you have? 77. Announcement made. Saddam Hussein tells people of Iraq, anyone who walks to Karbala will be killed. And a group of lovers of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam said, no, you're not going to stop us. And even if it means we walk to Imam al-Hussein with our backpacks, and we go towards that shrine, never will we allow Imam al-Hussein to be left alone. The same Imam al-Hussein who called out, Ala min Nasir, Ala min Mu'in, Ala min Mu'ith. Why do you think ulama like Muhaddith al-Nuri, Sahib al-Mustadrak, over 100 years ago, until today Ayatollah Muhammad Sa'id al-Hakim, why do you think these ulama want to join the walk to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam? Because they want to answer, Hal min Nasir in Yansuruna? Is there any helper to help us? 77. And a group of them set out. They were ready. Some of them were 13 years old. Some of them were in their 60s. Of them, my uncle Jasim al-Irawani, who passed away, who had been executed because he was of those people. Of them, Al-Hajj Abu Yusr al-Balaghi, who's with us in London. Many of you know Al-Majlis al-Husseini, who does the walk on the 10th of Muharram from Marble Arch all the way to Trafalgar Square. Ask him about 77. Ask him. Tell him what happened in 77. Saddam Hussein knew, stop this walk, then you defuse the Shia. And if you defuse the Shia, then you can maintain your power. And if it means you have to kill them, kill them. Because the Shia realized one thing. We hold on to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam more than any other school in Islam. We hold on to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. There are many schools in Islam who love Imam al-Hussein but don't do anything for him the whole year. Nothing for him. But we love him. He's the grandkid. We look at the grandson. We don't see grandkid. That mentality of grandkid is not what we see. We see grandson. We see Imam al-Hussein as a young boy. We see the 57-year-old who said, "Hey, hat min nadzilla." Never will we be humiliated. 77. And they went out and they got executed. And others got executed. In the 80s, they got executed. In the 90s, they got executed. They had to take routes from the side just to get to the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Why? If walking from one mountain to another became part of Islamic heritage, then how about the man who saved that heritage? We would never know Safa and Marwa. The way Imam Zain al-Abidin would say, I am the son of Mecca and Mina, Zamzam and Safa. Imam Zain al-Abidin, when he would say this, why would he say this? Because if it wasn't for my father, none of you would know what Safa and Marwa is. Imam Zain al-Abidin himself would be of those who would stand in front of Yazid. And when he'd stand in front of Yazid, he would make it clear to him, I'm the son of Mecca and Mina and Zamzam and Safa. And when he would say that to him, why would he say that? To make it clear that my father, in what he did at Karbala, saved this religion. And therefore you found that Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam would always focus that you don't know how much reward you get for walking to Sayyid al-Shuhada, for doing ziyarah of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And that's why you see Muawiyah, the son of Wahab, says, I was one day with Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, and I saw him in his sujood crying and crying and crying. He said, when I saw him crying the way he was crying, I asked him, Mola, what were you reciting? He said, I was doing a dua. Dua for who? For Zuwar al-Hussein alayhi salam. Imagine Imam al-Sadiq praying for us. Zuwar al-Hussein alayhi salam. He said to him, can you say the words to me? He looked at him and he said, yes. Al-Madhmoon from the words that he said, Allahumma aghfir li wa li ikhwani wa zuwar qabr al-Hussein alayhi salam. Oh Allah, forgive me and forgive my brethren and the zuwar of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Alladhina anfaqu amwalahum, those who spent money to go and see him. وَأَشْخَصُوا أَبْدَانَهُمْ, and they put their bodies in danger. رَغْبَةً فِي بَرِّنَا, they put their bodies in danger knowing bombs could go off at any second. Just out of their love for us, رغبة في برنا وسرورا أدخلوه على نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله and to put a smile on the face of your prophet, peace be upon him and his family. رغبة في برنا ورجاء لما عندك وصلتنا وسرورا أدخلوه على نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله. Then he says, oh Allah, فارحم تلك الوجوه التي غيرتها الشمس. Oh Allah, have mercy on those faces burnt by the sun. When you go to Karbala, that sun burns you. Imam al-Sadiq says, oh Allah, have mercy on those faces burnt by the sun. وارحم تلك العيون التي جرت دموعها لنا. And have mercy on those eyes eyes that shed their tears out of love for us. وارحم تلك القلوب التي احترقت لنا. Have mercy on those hearts that burn when they remember us. Doesn't your heart burn when you remember the arrow in the neck of the 6-month-old? Doesn't your heart burn when you remember Akbar's fall or Abbas's arms or shimmer on the chest of Hussein? It burns each of us. Then he says, وارحم وارحم تلك الخدود التي تقلبت على قبر أبي عبد الله الحسين عليه السلام. Oh Allah, have mercy on those cheeks that rub themselves on the grave of Aba عبد الله عليه السلام. How many of us miss the ضريح of Imam al-Hussein? How many of us wish that we could rub our cheeks on the shrine of Imam al-Hussein عليه السلام? How many of us wish we could sit next to Bab al-Hawaij, next to Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas? That's why Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam would always remember Karbala, and he'd remember Sham Ghariba, and he'd remember Kufa and Sham, and he'd remember the plight of the daughters of Rasulullah. When we walk to Karbala, alhamdulillah, we don't have chains around our hands. We don't have chains from one neck to another. I ask you about Ruqayya, the daughter of Imam al-Hussein. I ask you about Sukayna. I ask you about the face of Zainab alayha salam. I ask you about the cheeks of Kulthum. I ask you about the broken heart of Rabab. Imam al-Sadiq, therefore, one day, if the Abbasids tried to burn the house of Imam al-Sadiq alayha salam. Imam was living there with his wife and his daughters. The Abbasids wanted to end the time of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. So they burned the house of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. While it was on fire, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam was picking up one daughter, holding another, going from one part of the house to the other. He was trying to bring all the children of the house, the grandchildren. He heard one daughter scream, another cry. A couple of days later, the Shia of the Imam came to visit Imam al-Sadiq. Sadiq alayhi salam. They'd see the tears of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Take your heart to Jannat al-Baqi' tonight for a little bit. They'd see the tears of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. One of them came and said to him, Imam, it's been a couple of days since the fire in your house, and you al-Muhammad have the greatest of sabr. Why is it that you cry about what you saw in your house? The Imam looked towards him. He said to him, because when I saw my daughters running from one part of the house to the other, and when I saw their dresses on fire, my thoughts went back to Karbala. And that moment I remembered the daughters of Rasulullah running from one tent to the other. And that moment I remembered the cries of Wa Husayna, Wa Abbasa, Wa Madluma. That moment we remember the earrings that were pulled. And that moment we remember the cheeks that were slapped. And that moment we remember Ummul Masa'ib Zainab alayha salam. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون واللعنة الدائمة على القوم الظالمين Ya Allah, allow us the honor of performing Ziyarat al-Husayn alayhi salam. Ya Allah, honor the martyrs of 1977 and all those who lost their lives in honor of the Imam, in honor of all of our marhumin, the marhumin of the originators of this majlis, in honor of Imam Husayn TV and the marhumin of their staff. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah raises them and gives them the intercession of Muhammad and al-Muhammad. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who are feeling unwell with the following dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amma yujibu al-muftara idha da'a wa yakshifu al-su'a. Amma yujibu al-muftara idha da'a wa yakshifu al-su'a. Wherever you are with your children, raise your hands. Let's continue to inculcate the love of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Amma yujibu al-muftara idha da'a ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the lovers of Imam al-Husayn wherever they may be. And inshallah with your salawat we welcome Mullah Muhammad Abbas Kareem.
Ya Hussein, 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 Ya Hussein. Assalamu ala al-Hussein.